Blog Talk Radio.
Have you ever felt like you might possibly have a captive spirit because you just don't seem to tune in to what God is doing, even in a church service, like other people do? Would you like to know how to set your spirit free again and to be all that God has called you to be?
Welcome to Crosswalk Talk with ordained ministers Carlotta Waldman and her co-host Pat Torek. We call it Crosswalk Talk because Jesus died on the cross so that we can walk the walk and live the life in Him. And we all know that our walk talks much louder than our talk talks. This is your opportunity to share true stories of God intervening in the lives of real people today. Stories of miraculous healing, intervention, God's provision, divine appointments, or of receiving undeserved favor. Please call us with your true story at 866-480-LIVE. That's 866-480-LIVE. Carlotta Waldman is an author, Bible college educator, and ordained minister of counseling. Pat Torek is an evangelist, worship leader, and healing prayer minister. Now here's Carlotta Waldman.
Hi, I'm Carlotta Waldman and Patty Torek, and I want to welcome you back to more Crosswalk Talk. Today we're going to be talking about the importance of healing in our identity and who we really believe we are, because many times we look outside of us, we see obstacles, we see circumstances, we see people that maybe aren't supportive of us, but sometimes the real problem is what we think about us. What are we believing about us? And sometimes we're listening to voices from the past that have said, you can't do it, or you'll never do it, or no one will care, or no one will support you, or you just don't have what it takes. But it's when we start believing those things, wondering if those things are true, that we really undermine ourselves. And so what God wants is for us to believe in our true identity in Him. This was very important to me because, for one thing, I didn't like myself when I was growing up. The second thing was, even though I had a very good biblical foundation and strong belief in Christ, I didn't trust my own perceptions. I kept making dumb choices, and I really didn't trust myself either. And part of that was because I didn't really know what Jesus Christ says about me in the Word and His calling for my life, and I just didn't have confidence that He was even going to do that through me. Today we're going to be talking about an email that we've received from one of our alumni who came for Restoration Prayer Ministry, and we just had a marvelous time working with her, but I'll let Pat tell you how she met her and how we all came together.
Yes, well, I'm a volunteer on ChristianNet, which is a very nice Christian community, and I received an email from this very intelligent, very capable woman. Of course, we don't give any details about our folks, but this woman is an extremely accomplished person, and yet from her view of what she was feeling inside, you would never know, but she was really struggling with problems. And I told her how much Restoration Prayer Ministry did for me, even though I'd received such a miracle. And it was absolutely in the area of identity. That was my biggest miracle in 1995. And yet, 10 years later, I still found the value of Restoration Prayer Ministry. And that's why I'm so involved and hot on that, because you know what works. I've seen it work for me. I've seen it work for so many people. And Carlotta has too. And so anyway, I did suggest to her that she could really benefit from RPM, and she got in contact with Carlotta, and she received RPM. And we got an email from her recently. We keep in touch. We don't just lead them and leave them, as I've said about mentoring people. We don't lead them and leave them. But Carlotta, do you want to say something more before I read her email?
No, go ahead.
We are talking about the feeling of being abused and feeling that forgiveness is something that you cannot do. It is a feeling of a spirit that is in the dark. You know that the feeling is caused by extreme shame, hurt, jealousy, anger, etc. at your abusers and what they did. There is this distorted story and the secrecy that goes with your abuse. The difficult part is that you are alone in this knowledge. Other people, like neighbors, relatives, etc., were lied to. They have a different story. The feeling is a feeling of helplessness, for you feel that you were stupid to fail to shake off the abuser. You also feel that you were too young. This is the guilt of having run away from the context because you cannot stand being that. That alone makes you feel alienated in some parts of God's earth as you look back and see the abusers being bigger than you. The net that encircles you is wide. They were able to recruit other people who thrive on abusing others. The darkness comes from the spirit feeling mowed down, stifled, and unable to breathe. Even prayer is hard. The darkness and hopelessness feels like a big hole that has a thick substance that clings to you and pulls you down. You imagine yourself at the end of the world and unable to come up. The problem is having to make a choice to come up and not knowing any place where there was no abuse. The fear of human beings is deep. The feeling of running to earthly definitions of love like men, etc., is also very real because you fail to have faith because you feel if God was there, He would never have let you suffer. The small voice of the Holy Spirit is silenced by the pain. The pain is so real it stresses out and you burn. This is a bedrock of fear. There is a bedrock of confusion. It inhabits the soul like a tar that it makes you give away your power because you're so tired of trying to be you.
Can you feel it? Can you feel it? Even though she hasn't specified exactly what kind of abuse, hasn't narrowed down to what country it is or what her exact situation is, you know what's really important is what she expressed and how she expressed it. The fatigue of just trying to be you. Trying to find a safe place to be you. A feeling that there is a spirit that's holding you down. And I can tell you, it's not just a feeling. There is a spirit that can take your spirit captive, especially as a young child. And this is what we came to, that you can be captive. You can feel completely unable to say what your preferences are, share your opinions. You can be in situations, and many of you have been. You know what I'm talking about, whether you're men or women. When you weren't allowed to be a real person, you knew that you were supposed to be silent, seen, and not heard.
And Carlotta, when you just mentioned whether you're a man or a woman, you know, that just brought a particular person to mind. Not all victims of abuse are women. I know of some men who have been victimized as little children. And these men, they're in their 50s and 60s, and they have just struggled with the same issues as women have. And yet I think they feel a little more helpless than women because women at least have been taught that it's okay to talk, it's okay to share your feelings, where men are taught, don't cry, men don't cry, men don't share feelings like that. And so what do the men do when they have these problems? And I want to encourage, if we have men listeners out there who have abusive backgrounds and you haven't felt like there's anywhere you can really talk and still be a man, I want you to know that we know where you're at and you can contact us.
And it's not that you should minimize it if the abuse happened in your family, outside your family, at work, at church, on the playground. It's not that one is worse than the other, whether it was sexual, mental, emotional. Abuse is abuse, and it presses you down, holds you in, takes you captive. There is a demonic spirit that would cause people to treat other people this way. They probably weren't born wanting to abuse people, to grow up to be perpetrators, to hold other people down. But it flows from generation to generation. People learn to treat other people the way they were treated, but they take that shame in. See, shame isn't just like guilt. Guilt says, I did something wrong, you know, therefore I should say I'm sorry, or I should repent, or I should change my ways. But shame said, there is something
wrong
evil
with me.
About you.
Yes.
That you're defective.
Yes.
You are shameful to the core. That the problem isn't what you did, You are the problem, is what Shane says. And even though that little child might have had some small percentage in their heart that they knew, this is not my fault. What they're saying about me isn't right. I didn't cause them to do what they do. But gradually, that gets eroded away, and they begin to buy into the lies. I must deserve this. I'm not worthy of being treated right. I'm not respectful.
And the lie becomes bigger and bigger until the lie actually becomes your self-image.
And you begin to believe what the devil is whispering in your ears. And part of that is, like she said, other people, like the neighbors and relatives, they don't know the whole story. They just know the picture that the abusers present. And who are you as a little child to contradict that and have anyone hear you? And the hopelessness and the helplessness grows and grows, and you feel alienated not only from your own family and your friends as they isolate you out, and they look bigger and bigger, and them and their friends look bigger and bigger, but you feel smaller and smaller. And the darkness that she describes, that feeling of being mowed down, stifled, unable to breathe, because there's no one and nowhere that you can turn. Even prayer is hard, she said. The darkness and hopelessness feels like a big hole that has a thick substance that clings to you and pulls you down. Of course, she's describing depression, too, and wondering if I'll ever get away from this false identity that I was given. And she imagines herself pulled down at the end of the world, unable to come up. But many of you know how that feels.
And do you know, when I read this one line, Carlotta, it was almost hard to read. It's so striking. The fear of human beings is deep. My goodness. I mean, she just clumped the whole human race as they're out to hurt me. I can't trust anybody.
Sometimes that's how it feels. It feels like I don't have a friend in the world. No one really believes in me, who I am, my talents, my gifting, what I'm called to do. There's no one there that really believes in me. In fact, not only am I being used and abused, I'm just seemingly supposed to be a slave serving everyone else because they're the ones that are important. But today we just want to reach out to you and say, whether you feel like your identity is in this rough a shape or just needs a little boost, that Jesus Christ created you. You were not a mistake. You were not an accident. That you are created with a purpose. That He has a plan for you, a calling for you. There's not one person that's left out. It may be that you haven't responded to that yet, but if you will invite Jesus Christ to come into your life and you believe that He has a wonderful plan for your life, things will begin to turn around. I always say, if you've been managing your own life, complain to the management. But if you will let Him be Lord of your life, say, today, I don't know what all this means, Lord, but I want You to be Lord of my life. I want You to be the management. I want to know what Your plan is. He will begin to speak into your heart. He will say, read my word. Read the love letters that I have written to you. And I say that you are valuable, that I died on the cross to make you worthy. I've given you your righteousness as a gift. And in Ephesians, I've promised you that I have died on the cross and my blood is adequate that I shed for you, that you are holy and blameless in my sight. You may say, no way, no way. But Jesus is the authority in the universe. And if He says, when He took your sin on the cross, that it was adequate to make you holy and blameless in His sight, we're the ones that need to redefine what our identity is based on. Is it based on what God says about us or what abusers say about us? Who are you going to believe?
Well, and that's when my whole identity changed, when I had Christ in me. What a difference that made.
Who are you?
Well, I'm Pat Turok. That's who I am. But I am a child of God. I'm an ambassador. I'm a daughter of the King. I'm royalty. When I actually really received Jesus and the Holy Spirit came into me, then I became a brand new person. Then it didn't even really matter who I was. It's who I am, because the old things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. I'm not who I was before I was saved. Not at all. I'm the new person with Christ in me. Hallelujah for that. It was a life-changing thing. And anyone who has really received the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, you're a brand new person. And you know what? You'll know it. And everyone who knows you will know it, because you'll be completely different.
And for those of you that have received Christ and you say, but I'm not. It doesn't feel like to you that you're different, because like this woman has said, you're still dealing with the memories. You're still hearing those voices that says you're no good. You're still questioning who you are. You're still basing your significance on what other people say. Then what we need to do is come into agreement with God's word. Come into agreement with the fact that righteousness is not about what you do. It's not about your behavior at all. Westerners think so, but that's not really the case. We don't ever become righteous because we're good enough. That would be self-righteousness. The righteousness that we have in Christ is a gift, Romans 5 says, that he gave to us. He took our sin. It's all supernatural. He took our sin and he gave us a gift of righteousness, which means right standing in his sight. And as we take you through restoration prayer ministry, what we would do is identify the lies that you've been believing. That you're believing, you know, all the I can'ts, I will never, no one will help me, you know, no one cares, that I'm just going to be used and abused, misunderstood, persecuted, underpaid, or not chosen in the future.
I am this, I am that, but they're not good.
And people will do this to me, or yeah, will not do what they should do. Even leadership won't be there for me. In fact, we'll get down to the blocks that are some of the deepest roots of all, when I'm not sure that God really chooses me. I'm not sure that God still has a purpose for me. I think I've sinned too much. I don't believe that God will really, really, totally forgive me. I believe I've basically blown it and I can never get back to plan A. And isn't that what people told me?
But God's word says ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood. Amen?
Amen.
Now that's the truth.
So what we can do is we can minister to you. If you will email us at cwt@cwlinc.com, that's cwt@cwlinc.com, let us know what the lies are that are tormenting you. Just like she wrote us, and she says, okay, I've been through restoration prayer ministry a couple years ago, but these things are rising back up, trying to take me down again. I'm beginning to worry again about what people think. Pleasing people on the inside. I feel like the spirit is trying to take me down into depression or worthlessness or hopelessness again. And it's trying to stifle me. And, you know, there's a spirit of intimidation that can come, and it causes us to be fearful of stepping out and even what we know we can do in the natural. This woman is very, very accomplished, very well trained.
Yes.
She's an educator of educators.
Yes.
And she can speak, man, she can write. But when she gives into the spirit, when she starts to agree with it, maybe I can't, maybe no one does care, maybe I'm what they used to say about me, maybe I'm not really all that and so much more,
maybe this will happen again.
And, of course, the devil is the world's best at trying to set up a setup to make you think, uh-oh, here I go down again, and to undermine our confidence. But see, our confidence is not in ourselves. We believe that God created us, fashioned, designed us with a purpose, and that he is committed to healing us, restoring us, training, and equipping us. We still don't place our confidence in ourselves, separated from Christ. Our confidence comes from knowing that Christ is in us. He is the mystery of the gospel. He is our hope of glory. And because we are containers, basically, Christ is in us. I'm like a plain melamine cup.
And I'm the vessel of honor. Yes, I am.
So we're of honor and we're plain at the same time, because what's important about us is that we have Christ in us. And Jesus Christ was the fullness of the Godhead bodily. He came in human form to demonstrate to us how important it is
He said, I do nothing except what the Father says to do, what the Father says to say, and that he himself was totally dependent on his relationship, his oneness with the Father. And that's what makes us fruitful and give us confidence and courage to step out. And what we know that we're called to do on this earth is because we have Jesus Christ, the fullness of the Godhead, who has all the power, all the knowledge, all the insights that we need, and he will live that life through us. We're not out there just on our own targets for those that would use and abuse and put us down.
And when I said I'm a vessel of honor, that has nothing to do with, well, I'm such an honorable person. It has to do with God's word. For in a great house, there are not only vessels of gold and of silver, but also of wood and of clay, some for honor and some for dishonor. Therefore, if anyone cleanses himself of the latter, he shall be a vessel of honor, sanctified and useful for the master, prepared for every good work. Prepared by who? Prepared by God, the master, the workmanship of us.
Amen. Let's just pray it, because we can talk it, and you may say, I've heard those words before, but it's been hard for me to receive. But we will pray it now and ask the Holy Spirit to just impart it to you right now. That when the enemy comes and he said, oh, you'll always be the used and abused, and you'll be the shameful and the hurt, and you'll just be jealous of other people or always be angry at what happened to you and never get past it, we speak the redemption of Jesus Christ, that he will redeem every situation and take the pain out of it. And when the enemy comes and says that you'll always be the hopeless and the helpless and fall short of what you even really can do, because I'm going to intimidate you and you'll never have the courage and the support to do it, we speak to you and speak that life, and the courage and the confidence in Jesus Christ. And we speak hope in Jesus Christ, that he will be more than enough and far over and above everything that you need.
Amen. Amen. And Lord, I just pray right now that just supernaturally right now, every person listening, we all have a self-image. But I just pray right now, the Lord, that you would just impart to them a God image. Now, if you haven't received God, you cannot have a God image. You don't have a God image. But if you've received Christ, receive the truth of who you are in him. He said, before I formed you in your mother's womb, I knew you. So you and God, if he is in you, you've had a relationship from the beginning of time. And so, Lord, I just pray right now for healing, that you would just break off all the lies, break off all of the snares, all of the enemy, all these things that tie us to our past, all this negative thinking and critical broken records, the things we've heard from childhood. You'll never be any good. You're just like so-and-so. You'll never amount to anything. I just break those lies off now in the name of Jesus. I break that off your life. I break off every word curse that was ever spoken. Oh, you've always been a sickly child. You've been sick since the day you were born. I break that off in Jesus' name. Right now, I just felt led in the Spirit that there's someone out there,
amen,
that is sick, and they just accept it because, well, I've always been sick. Well, it doesn't always have to be, because you can be healed and whole in that very moment, in the very second. Just receive the fact. By his stripes you are healed, and receive that. That is for somebody right now.
I just want to pray for those of you out there that identify with this testimony, with this description of feeling the helplessness and the hopelessness, even from the time you were a little child, that you had very early woundings, and that you had to flee from what was going on inside you and outside you. I thank you, Lord, that you are reaching into their hearts and healing them now, that you are wooing them to bring their hurts to you, their trauma to you, and even fleshly strongholds that they have built up in self-defense and maybe wall themselves in from the terror on the outside, but now they aren't free to go and come as they please because of the walls they built. And Lord, we just come against those demonic forces that would have tried to intimidate them even now from stepping out in their gifts and callings. And we come against those spirits of fear and spirits of intimidation that would say you can't do it and no one cares and no one will support you. And in those areas where you feel like something's wrong or missing but you don't know what, that you will bring that to the Holy Spirit and say, Holy Spirit, you reach inside my heart and spirit, and find that which is not an expression of you, that is not of you, that's of the enemy, that your healing will come in like a flood and bring healing to them. And where they feel imprisoned and that they aren't free to be themselves and they feel like your spirit was taken captive, that they felt tormented or traumatized or withered or emaciated away, or in some places their heart, maybe back rooms of their heart, they still feel like they're in agony. We just call upon that healing balm of the Holy Spirit to go in and heal. And where you feel hollow or empty or vacant, that something is missing, that you will call upon the Lord to fill you with His Holy Spirit and to fill you with His fruit and with His love and with His peace. And where you feel alone or lonely and separated even from the Lord God Almighty, even from yourself and even from others, that you will know what it means to love the Lord with all your heart, to love yourself and to love others and have that freedom to not only love but to be lovable. Thank you, Jesus. And where you felt persecuted and afflicted, falsely accused, that those things will begin to fall away as the truth of God comes in and ministers to you. And where you've had talents or powers or energies or natural skills in the past, and yet now they feel locked away as hers did. She knew a sense of freedom, and now she is beginning to feel captive again. That you will turn to Lord Sabaoth, the Lord of hosts, and say, I call upon you to free me again from the powers of darkness. And where maybe you used to know the joy of life or the joy of marriage and the joy of relationships and had close, intimate relationships with God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, that you will return to them, Lord, the joy of their salvation, that they will know that, and they will trade in any inner rage that they've still got, any resentment or unforgiveness or even the shame about who they are, who they were told that they are, the false identity that the enemy gave them, that they will trade that in and receive your truth about who they are. And whether it's just a brain fog or a mist or a film that covers them and they feel like they cannot see clearly, to know the path in you, to know how to go forward in Christ, that you will just be wiping that away, just wiping that away supernaturally. We just thank you, Lord. And where they've been anointed for worship or teaching or ministry or to share the gospel and the word seems boring and prayer seems fruitless, that they will turn to you and say, Lord, give me again the joy of my salvation. Help me to know your power again, and that we will come to you in faith. And however these spirits have tried to take us captive, whether it's in body, whether it's in soul, or whether it's in spirit, that we will realize our freedom in you, that you died to set the captives free, to heal the brokenhearted, and to make the lame to walk again. And if you would like to join with us or to have us pray with you today, we invite you. Tell us what you need prayer for and allow us to pray for you and with you. That's what we're here for. We thank you, Lord.
You have been listening to Crosswalk Talk with Reverend Carlotta Waldman and Reverend Pat Torek. For more information about personal restoration prayer ministry, our local healing prayer and worship meetings, ministry training seminars, or free healing articles, go to our website, Crosswalk Life, at www.cwlinc.com. If you would like a copy of this message, you can download it on our website or email us at cwt@cwlinc.com or call toll free at 866-480-LIVE. That's 866-480-LIVE. If you would like to help keep Crosswalk Talk on this station, please mail your tax-deductible donation to Crosswalk Talk, P.O. Box 1535, Washington, Pennsylvania, 15301. Again, that's Crosswalk Talk, P.O. Box 1535, Washington, Pennsylvania, 15301. And please join us next week for more Crosswalk Talk.
Could search for earthly things to satisfy my every need.